Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. I prayed, and prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the Spirit of Wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter enthroned, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold, in view of her, is a little sand. And before her, silver is to be accounted mire. Beyond health and comeliness I loved her, and I chose to have her rather than the light. Because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together came to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.
Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.
Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. Make us glad for the days when you afflicted us, for the years when we saw evil.
Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.
Let your work be seen by your servants, and your glory by their children. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands. Prosper the work of our hands.
Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He replied to him and said, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell. And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished, and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you. There is no one who has given up house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in the present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, I don't know if you recall, but these are the first readings I preached on at St. Mary in Canandaigua.
I do recall, because we were all thinking, what is this guy going to be like? Is he going to be a good preacher? And as we found out, obviously...
You were disappointed. Oh, wait. You were highly disappointed.
No, one of the things that I most like about your preaching, like, it's all good, but you use so many relevant things, examples, and analogies to things that I can relate to, and so I really like that part. So.
Well, when I preached this one of the things that I related it to, now this was 3 years ago, but I still think it's applicable today, was going through airport security, because
right.
What I started with is this whole image of passing a camel through the eye of a needle. And some scholars, what they say is that that eye of a needle refers to one of the gates in Jerusalem. Now, it's a controversial thing. It's not been proven or anything. So for people who are out there, no, maybe that's not right. You're right. It might not be the right interpretation, but it's an interpretation. And one of the gates, they said, was so narrow that they referred to it as the eye of a needle. And to pass through it, you'd have to unload everything off of your camel, which would be the main form of transportation back then. And you would have to, as you unloaded everything, carry all your stuff through this gate because it was so narrow. And I said, it's kind of like going through airport security nowadays when you have to kind of, you get to that line and then all of a sudden you have to unpack pretty much everything that's in your carry-on, take off half of your clothes before you can go through that gate to get on your plane. And what a burden that is. But what it reminded me of is it's kind of the sense that we have to get rid of all this baggage that we carry with us, whether it's emotional baggage or physical baggage, especially I think the physical baggage, to get into the kingdom of heaven, because we can't bring it with us. Now, unlike airport security, you get it back once you've cleared the gate. You know, in the kingdom of heaven, the kind of question is, well, what do we get if we do that? You know, Peter asked that question. He says,
exactly,
you know, we've given up everything. We left all of our stuff right there with the guy at the beginning. We didn't have the little 3-ounce bag to put all of our stuff in, and so they took it from us. You know, what do we get? And I think it's a self-serving question, certainly. But I've been talking lately in some of my homilies how the disciples, how they anticipate us so beautifully in several of the readings. And in one, I think they do as well, because I think in the back of all of our minds, we want to know, well, if I'm going to follow this and it means suffering and all this, I want to know what's in it for me too. You know, I want there to be something in it for me. And you know, you could say that might not be the right question, but maybe it is a good question to ask. You know, we want to know, we want some kind of knowledge that this is going to benefit us as well. It's not just for the sake of doing something. And Jesus tells us, he says, you know, that there's not anybody who's given up stuff. They haven't given up their family, their possessions, any of that stuff for the sake of the gospel, who aren't going to be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. And so I think that's an important thing to know, too, is that even though we have to kind of get rid of all of our stuff and detach ourselves from that stuff, that there is a reward in the kingdom of heaven.
You know, I've been trying to think of, neither of us are very wealthy because, you know, we work for the church. And so it's tempting to say, well, I don't have much to give up. But in reality, of course, I do. I have a computer and I have all that stuff. But then I got to thinking, well, when do I find it hardest to follow Jesus? It's not just about giving up my stuff, but I think for me, the hardest time I have is when I'm lonely. I like to wallow in my self-pity and, oh, I'm so lonely, I can't do anything. And so it totally distracts me from following Jesus. And so it was just sort of an interesting realization the other day when I had that. I was like, oh, boy, I have things to work on. But, I mean, it's in the similar vein of what they're talking about in the gospel. So, anyhow.
Right. Well, that's kind of what the rich young man is asking about is, you know, what do I need to do? That's his question is, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Or, and we would now kind of, the way you rephrased it is, it's the same question. It's coming from a point where we recognize Jesus now as the source of eternal life, which the rich young man may or may not have recognized, although it does seem that he does recognize that to some extent when Christ goes into that, you've called me good, but no one is good but God alone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of that recognition that you've recognized who I am
right.
When asking this question. But again, I also think, too, that we should always be challenged. One, even you and I, who, you know, are operating on, you know, church salaries, as we call them, or whatever. Right. There's still a sense in which we do have a lot of stuff and probably more than we need. And there's always, I mean, no matter, there's always going to be people who are worse off than you. There's always going to be people who are poor that you can give to. And then in addition to that, for most of us, there's always going to be stuff that we have that we don't need, that we need to learn to detach from, or even stuff that we do need that we need to detach from. So for me, for example, I'm a computer dork, and people know that. And
I had no idea.
I'm really attached to my computer. Now, I need my computer for some of the work I do, certainly. And I use it to do a lot of good things. For this podcast, I use it for work at the office, for writing my homilies, that kind of thing. I also use my computer for a lot of frivolous things, you know, playing games online or something, or surfing the internet and
checking Notre Dame stats
and stuff. Although some people might say that's very important.
So, we won't enter that into this discussion.
but the point is, there has to be a sense in which I have a healthy detachment from the computer, that it doesn't overwhelm my life. And it is something, for me personally, that I sit here and constantly am at odds with. And I think we should be at tension with some of those things, and not just computers. I mean, for other people, it could be any number of things. But what is the role that all the things that I have in my life play, and how do I use them? Do I use them? I mean, certainly it's okay to use things for entertainment, but the question is that all I'm ever seeking out? Am I using what I've been given also for the greater glory of God, for the benefit of humanity, for the benefit of the church, for any number of things? I think that's a tougher question to answer, and that forces us really to look at ourselves and say, how are we using what we have? And I think that's kind of what Jesus is confronting the rich young man with, is that question. How are you using your wealth? And Jesus seems to say, you know, you've got so much, and there's a lot of people who aren't benefiting who could benefit. Go and sell and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me.
And, you know, there's in church circles, there's that phrase, time, talent, and treasure, and the things that we can give to make the world a better place isn't just money or possessions. I mean, there's just giving our time or the things that we can do well also contribute towards this. I mean, if we're wealthy and we give $100 to church every week, well, that's great. But if I could be, you know, mentoring some young person that needs assistance in that or has no parents or something like that, that's an additional challenge to this.
Right. And certainly you're exactly right there. And that's why I was careful when I was saying that to say, I didn't say money. I did say, you know, what are our gifts?
Right.
Because
all
those are our gifts. It's,
exactly.
You know, and different people have different gifts, as we hear over and over from St. Paul with his image of the body of Christ. And I think it's important for us to recognize what are our own gifts. And then, of course, we've talked several times too on the podcast, we also need to recognize what are the gifts of others and maybe help other people to recognize their gift. You know, your gift might be helping other people recognize their gifts.
As
odd as that sounds, that could be a gift. And a lot of times people need to hear that to know, you know, gee, you've got a wonderful singing voice. Have you ever thought of joining the choir? Or, have you ever thought of helping out with the after-school program? You seem to be good with kids, or, you know, any number of things. Or have you ever thought of, you know, and it doesn't have to be church-related functions necessarily. It could be anything. I mean, you might have a gift that could be used to worship God, but it doesn't need to be in a church-sponsored event.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's all kinds. Although we don't discourage you from attending and participating in church-sponsored events. And I know that because Dawn puts together many of these events. And we'd be happy if you came and helped out.
Right, yes. Well, as they're vacuuming outside my door currently, perhaps we need to end this podcast.
Yes, well, we are coming to the end anyway, so why don't we thank our listeners for joining us? Hopefully,
and thank the people vacuuming outside my door.
That's right. That is their talent and their gift to the church. And hopefully everybody will look at their own gifts and figure out how they can benefit all of humanity and use those gifts for the glory of God. And hopefully they will join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.